All right, well, let's just jump right in, shall we? Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. After battering Barcelona 3-0 in the Champions League last week, Bayern Munich hosted Mainz on Saturday and narrowly grabbed a 2-1 win. And despite having a severely depleted squad, the Bavarians rounded off their trio of games this week with a massive 5-0 win over Stuttgart, Serge Gnabry having a hand in each goal. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to discuss all of that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, hello.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Yeah, three games have taken place since we last recorded earlier last week. Like I said, Bayern smashed Barcelona, snuck past Mainz, and then absolutely destroyed Stuttgart. And so there's a lot for us to talk about, to dissect, I guess, regarding those three games. But we got to talk about the Bayern-Barcelona game first. Heading into that match, we talked about this last time we recorded. None of us were really feeling, I guess, that threatened by Barcelona. Didn't think that Bayern at least should feel that threatened by Barcelona. And I think the game played out in a way that many of us expected. And Garrett, I just got to ask, I mean, this Barcelona side now playing in the Europa League, are they really just that bad? I mean, are they really that bad that they couldn't even hardly show up to play against Bayern Munich?
Yeah, they're not good, that's for sure. And it looks like they may not even make a European competition next year based on where they're at in La Liga right now. So we'll have to see what happens to them after the January transfer window. But yeah, they're just bad. And they played okay against Bayern by all accounts. It didn't look to me like there was anything too glaringly bad from them. But that being the case, they're just not good enough. I think Thomas Müller said it after the match that they just can't keep up with the top European competition. And I think he's 100% right. I don't know what they're going to do. They've got themselves in quite a bind with all the financial issues and players that they're going to be shipping out, guys that they just bought on the transfer market. Serge Aguero is out for, well, he's retiring because of his heart issue. And so it's just going from bad to worse for them. And I don't know what you do. I don't know how they get that fixed. But yeah, it was nice to see Bayern beat them the way that they did. It didn't look like they struggled too much with them. But it is really strange to talk about beating Barcelona the same way that we talk about beating like Mainz, you know, not putting them necessarily on that same level, but we expect them to win, and we expect them to win without a whole lot of effort that they have to get in and doesn't make us nervous. And that's where we're at. And it's unfortunate for Barca fans. Some Barca fans not so unfortunate, because I, you know, they probably deserve a little bit, but yeah, not good.
One of the things you mentioned is it'll be interesting to see what happens with them in the January transfer window, and you know, to turn this to a little bit more of a Bayern focused conversation. Sebastian, Barcelona are rumored to be looking to offload a handful of players, and one of those guys is Sergiño Dest. The right back that could have come to Bayern last summer or the summer before and instead chose to go to Barcelona. But it looks like he now wants out, and Barcelona are thinking about potentially selling him. And Sebastian, we all know how long you've been wanting Bayern to get a right back. Do you think that this could potentially be a scenario that works out for Bayern Munich? Should they be pursuing Sergiño Dest in the January window, and particularly in light of the new system that Julian Nagelsmann has Bayern Munich playing, in which we don't necessarily utilize a true right back?
Yeah, it's just really pretty ironic that now might be the time when we could get a pretty good right back, which is the one time we don't really need a pretty good right back in years, basically. This is just a bit ironic, I guess. It's better to have one than to not have one, of course. But do you want to spend 30 million or something like that on a player who doesn't have a natural squad, a natural position in your squad right now? That's probably the answer is no, I guess. So we would really have to ask Julian Nagelsmann if this system where we don't have an actual right back is what he's going to play for the foreseeable future. If so, there's a no from me. If we're like playing a proper right back like 50 or 40% of the time, I'd say probably this is not such a bad deal. It's interesting because it's hard to say how much this guy is really going to cost. We're talking about those 30 million there. Of course, Barca needs to get a good deal for him, but they really also need to sell some players, I feel. It is such a messed up situation over there with people ending their careers and so many people on the squad who nobody really likes anymore, like Luke de Jong, who is a guy who's there because of the coach they fired, Yusuf Demir, who shouldn't play anymore because otherwise they will have to buy him, God forbid, and all that kind of stuff. Coutinho, nobody wants Coutinho anymore, it seems. And this list just goes on, right? So this is such a messed up situation. And Dest is probably one of the guys they hope to get at least a decent amount of money out of. So hard to say if they have to settle for a bargain there or if they would actually be able to demand a pretty high fee there. Really hard to predict, I think. But we should at least, well, talk to them maybe, I guess, because Dest would probably like to come. That's, I guess, what the rumors are. So we could have some talks there, and Nagelsmann should probably give some input there. I guess if it's reasonably cheap, could be a good deal. If not, maybe not. I guess it's just not as pressing an issue anymore as it used to be. So I'm kind of 50-50 on that. And it's not the most important topic for me anymore, as the listeners probably have realized, because I ceased to bring it up every second episode recently. So yeah, I guess I'm fine either way there.
I think there's a couple of things, and you mentioned this as well. I mean, the main thing speaking, I guess, against Bayern considering this move has to be the system, but also on top of that, the fact that Benjamin Pavard, at least over the past handful of games, has really looked quite good in this new sort of three at the back that Nagelsmann has going, while he also is still being asked to go forward a little bit. I think that works out. Alphonso Davies, you know, the way he plays on the left means that we have to shift things around on the right, and I don't think playing both Davies and Dest in a system like this would be ideal. So again, that speaks against him. However, Dest is a very versatile player. He's played on both sides of the defense. He can play a little bit further up going forward, so he's not necessarily someone who is only a right back. Garrett, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts there as well, and then also to talk about something that happened kind of as a result of the Barcelona game. The round of 16 Champions League draw took place. It took place twice because Atletico Madrid did not want to face Bayern, and so instead Bayern have been drawn against FC Salzburg. So let me hear your thoughts on Dest, and then also how are you feeling, just looking way ahead to the Salzburg match, how are you feeling kind of heading towards that?
Well, on Dest, I'm excited about the possibility of getting him, just because he is a younger guy. He's a right back that we've been kind of hoping for, and I think he could fit in pretty well, even with the new system, just because I think he's still got some developing to do, and they played him all up and down the pitch at Barca, and he did okay. He didn't do great against Bayern, playing right wing, but that being said, I'd like to see him at Bayern because I think that there's just a lot of potential there. Plus, it'd be nice to have a U.S. men's national team player on Bayern, but that's kind of my thoughts with him. I'd also like to see him and Alphonso Davies on both sides and have CONCACAF wing backs or something. That'd be fun. Maybe not great for Bayern, if you traditionally speaking, but I think it'd be good. As far as the Salzburg match, I think that we talked about it a little bit, and it's maybe not the sexiest of matchups, and it has potential to go really poorly because Salzburg has shown themselves to be a pretty dangerous team at times, and so if we're not careful, Salzburg is one of those smaller clubs that could really just pop up and bite us. So I'd be excited. I'm excited to see the match because Salzburg usually plays a pretty exciting style of football. But from a standpoint of all the people we could have faced, I'd say you have to be pretty happy with this draw as far as being able to move on to the next round, as opposed to, you know, getting a Chelsea or a PSG, obviously. So all in all, not too many strong feelings about it, other than it. I'm glad we're not facing Atletico Madrid again, mm-hmm. Just because we're already banged up. I don't want to get more injuries. So that's about all you can hope for.
Sebastian, after the draw, you messaged us in the chat and said you weren't totally thrilled about facing Salzburg. How much of that is down to a certain young German, Karim Adeyemi, playing over there?
Well, he's definitely one of their most exciting players. He's one of those players who makes this a tougher matchup than it might seem at first glance, because if you just go by the numbers, this looks like definitely one of the weaker teams that are still left in the Champions League, maybe the weakest. But I think they are really more dangerous than that. And of course, I would say Adeyemi is their best player. And of course, it's also a bit painful that we're probably not getting that guy. I still think that would have been a very, very reasonable addition. I mean, I cannot really blame him, since there's just no vacancy, basically, at striker at our club. So yeah, he would probably rather go somewhere where some guy called Erling Haaland is probably leaving, and there's a big open spot for him to fit right in. So yeah, I really cannot blame him there. What I really don't like about this game is there's no glory to be won, basically, in that match. Everybody expects you to win this decisively. You can really only lose. So it wouldn't have really, I think it wouldn't really have hurt to just have a even bigger name against us here, because you're going to have to play the big names anyway if you're going to win in the Champions League. So there's really not much harm in that. Of course, you don't want to face the strongest two or three teams already, that's clear. But other than that, a tough opponent is really fine. So why not face a tough opponent where it also looks like you actually achieved something if you manage to beat them. And here it's like you have to beat them, and if you don't beat them, it's awful. And if you beat them, it's just okay. And this is just, yeah, a bit unfortunate. Of course, I agree that it's pretty good probably that we're not facing Atletico, because that would have been not only tough, but also, yeah, injuries are always a thing there. So that would probably also not have been ideal. So if the choice would be like between these two draws, I might want to go with Salzburg there. FC Salzburg, I guess we have to say. But other than that, there are a number of other teams still in the competition that I would have rather seen playing against us, I guess.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, there's a fine line between playing someone who's tough and who's going to keep you, I guess, competitive, and someone that is, I would say on Bayern level, but right now I don't think there's very many teams, if any, that we could have drawn that are quite there. But you want to play someone who's going to keep you sharp without really them becoming favorites. And Salzburg, I do think it should be a pretty favorable matchup for Bayern, but there are some players that could step up and really cause some trouble. Let's talk about some other news that has taken place recently. In disappointing but not totally surprising news, Kingsley Coman had to leave injured this past weekend in the game against Stuttgart. But I think this one's especially disappointing because Coman's been in fantastic form so far this season. His goals and assist record don't totally back that up, although he does have a good handful of goals for it to only be this point in the season. But since we're talking about Coman, I feel like we haven't addressed him enough this season. Garrett, after the way that he's been playing, do you think that the club should be putting more emphasis on trying to get him to sign a contract extension? Or do you think maybe the fact that he's been playing so well and now he's injured again should be a sign to both fans and the club that this is pretty much all you're going to ever expect from him is a handful of good games and then another injury?
I don't know. It's such a hard thing to kind of gauge because, like you said, he's been phenomenal the last several matches, and it just started to seem like he was starting to find that consistency, and then he picks up an injury. Now, granted, maybe it has it's just a short term thing, and he can get right back in and pick right back up. But knowing how things have gone with Kingsley Coman, it's feels unlikely. And so I tend to lean a little bit more towards maybe now is the time to really maximize the value that you're going to get out of him. I think teams started becoming more interested in him as last season kind of wound down and it started seeming like maybe he would want to go someplace. And now as he's put in a lot of really good, consistent performances, it's a lot more likely that Bayern are going to get top dollar for him as far as, you know, what he would normally gather. So I tend to kind of lean towards now would be a good time to look and think about trying to move him on if they can. But that being said, maybe it'd be hard to find a buyer anyway if he's not going to sign a contract. So I don't know. I think if Bayern can re-sign him at less than what he was reportedly asking for in this past offseason, then it might not be a bad deal for them to just do that. And then you can look to move him later if you wanted to. But they're getting up on the point where they're going to have to make a decision here I guess the way that I'm looking at it is I look at how Kingsley Coman has gone and they haven't really got anywhere with his contract talks. It doesn't look like it's going to go any further. So maybe just cut him loose and get some money, to build that squad, maybe some Sergino Dest money.
Yes, Sebastian, Garrett brings up a good point. Coman has been great this season, but has he been good enough to warrant the contract demands, if you will, that he's kind of been laying out, or at least that his agent has been laying out recently?
Maybe not quite. I would say I'm really pretty enthusiastic about how he has been playing. I feel he has been better than he ever had before. Over like more than a game or something like that. Like if we're going to talk about a reasonable number of games, I don't think he has ever been this good over 10, 15 games in a row, I would say. His stats might not immediately look totally impressive, but what I find very interesting is that he just needs roughly 130 minutes for a goal in the Bundesliga, which is pretty amazing for a winger, I would say. So there's a bit more to it than it might look like, because he really didn't get as many minutes as I felt he got when I looked that up. So yeah, he really looked more changed than he had before, and definitely over a longer period of time, which means a lot. I feel he really looked confident, and he just, yeah, his thought process was just so much clearer and quicker. I feel there were never these moments where he gets the ball and you kind of can see him starting to think and starting to overthink even. That just hasn't happened anymore, and this was really the worst thing about this guy. So I think it's pretty realistic that his demands might go down a bit because of this injury. And I guess then there's a good chance with the club also valuing him a bit more than they did before. So I feel like there is room for compromise there. And if that happens, I'm going to be happy with that. Of course, it's not great that he's injured again, but we were kind of feeling like this is too good to be true. At least I was feeling like that because, yeah, it was just time for him to get injured again. He's kind of the new Arjen Robben there. Not quite the way he would imagine or he would want him to be the new Arjen Robben, I guess. He's not quite there in terms of performance. But maybe that's a good omen, if you will. I don't know. So, yeah, I think chances of him staying at the club definitely went up over the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I could see that happening.
I think another thing that adds to Coman is he seems to be, obviously, you know, his future's in doubt and he's exploring his options, but he does seem to be pretty invested in the club and what the club's doing. And by everything I can see, you know, off the pitch, even on the pitch, but off the pitch too, he seems like a very likable guy. And I don't know, he's getting to the point where it would kind of hurt as a fan to see him leave, mostly because he's just at the cusp of reaching that level. And honestly, if it wasn't for the injury, if he was, you know, still playing, I'd say he's basically at the level we want him to be. It would really hurt to see him leave once he finally reaches that place. And then there's also the question of who replaces him. So I'm very much on the see what we can do to get him to sign without going, you know, above and beyond in the contract or in the salary, I guess, demands department. But while we're talking about wingers, Serge Gnabry had a phenomenal game against Stuttgart over the weekend. Involved in all five goals, he got a hat trick, had two assists, and really, I don't feel like Serge Gnabry has really been that super this season. I feel like he's kind of struggled. He's been a little bit better than last season, but still not, I guess, at the level we want him to. Maybe that's just, you know, seeing how well Sané and Coman and even Musiala have played, comparing him to them. But then this past weekend, no question he was our best player in that game. Garrett, do you think that this game could finally, you know, get him back on track, get us back to seeing the Serge Gnabry that we all are used to seeing, that we expect to see every single, you know, time he steps on the pitch?
I think in fairness, if he, I think he's been kind of off and on injured, and I think that's kind of thrown off his trajectory a little bit. He probably could have had like five or six goals based on how well he was playing and just how much Bayern were just humming through that game. So I think it could. I think that anytime you have a game where it's like everything you touch turns to gold, I think that that is just going to make his confidence just skyrocket. And he seems to be a pretty confident guy anyway, but when you add to that and give him a little bit more to back up that confidence, I think he's only going to take off. And I think, I mean, I have to go back and look at it so I don't completely speak out of nothing, but I seem to think that when he had that big match against Tottenham in the Champions League a couple years ago, that was kind of the moment that he kind of started to become that player for Bayern. And so hopefully, you know, Stuttgart and Tottenham are maybe not on the same level of prestige, but you can at least see what a good match does for him. So yeah, I definitely think he can take off after this match, and I hope he does, especially with Coman out. But you know, to your point on the last topic of if Coman gets sold, we're gonna need one more winger to really solidify their place in the starting 11. And then if you're worried only about, you know, who's going to back up the wing positions, that's a little bit different conversation. And so, yeah, I think he's he's due for a big year, I think. And we kept talking about him like he was going to be ascending into stardom across Europe, European football. But I think, like I said, I think injuries have kind of, and illness have kind of derailed that a little bit. And if he can maintain health for the next half of the year, I think he's going to really take off.
Yeah, I think a lot like Coman, he's been injured a lot recently as well. I do think that the consistency a lot of times can come down to how many minutes you're getting on the pitch throughout a consistent string of games. And with someone, especially like Gnabry, who struggles a little bit with consistency anyway, I think that does play a pretty big role. Now, Sebastian, I know that you, just like the rest of us, love to talk about Jamal Musiala. So let's do that for a bit. Because the versatility that this kid has is just amazing. He came through the ranks, I guess, at Chelsea as a striker before moving to an attacking midfielder, which kind of is what he mostly played at Bayern after his move here. And then he's played on the wing a lot since making the jump to the first team. And now he's been switched back to playing as, I guess, it's more like a number eight, but kind of a number six, number eight. He's in a double pivot. He's played alongside Corentin Tolisso, Marc Roca, both. I mean, how has he looked? How has he looked playing those positions? Does he look uncomfortable? Does he look equally as impressive as he has in all the other positions that he's played? Do you think that maybe we'll see more of this going forward? What do you think about Jamal Musiala in that double pivot kind of role?
Well, I would say all things considered, were these his best matches overall? No, I don't think so. Because obviously he's more at home and has more experience at different positions. But were these among his most impressive performances? If we take into account that this is not what he usually plays, that's probably not what he plays every day in training. This is not what he grew up doing, basically. I guess the answer then probably becomes yes. Even if the media doesn't completely agree there, I think it is interesting. Because with Musiala in general, I feel like the more data-driven outlets often rank him or grade him much worse than the ones that are just people basically grading him. Because I think that he's really some qualities that just don't fit into numbers very well. It's just something that you have to see, and it's not easy to describe that in, okay, he gets a plus for this and a plus for that, and overall this makes five or something. This is just not really how that works with some of the things he does. And therefore, it's still kind of a bit open to debate, but I think there's no one that would argue that he didn't play at least decent or better than that. And I think even that is a very good thing and definitely something to be proud of at this point, because of course we talked about how even Nagelsmann acknowledged that this is not what he's used to, and this is definitely a tough task for a young player like him to play this position in his system, because he's really lacking a lot of the experience you would usually want for someone playing that position. So I'm really, really high on him there. I really think he did a great job, even if it was not 100% as flashy as some of his matches in other positions, because how could it be, really? I think he was, most of the time, I think he was better than Tolisso or Roca at his side, and that's already saying a lot, because they didn't even play all that bad. Of course, we would have to wonder how that would look in tougher matches. I don't know if I would definitely put him there against like Dortmund or against tougher competition in the Champions League, of course. But given some time, maybe also this could be a good option, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I'd play him there in a bigger match as well. But I guess if Bayern had a fully fit squad, I'd almost think that he'd be wasted playing that deep. Because when you look at Jamal Musiala, you just watch him play. He's a goal scorer. That's what he wants to do. He's on the pitch. He wants to score goals. I mean, he got one against Barcelona. He scored an important game winner against Mainz despite playing in a bit of a deeper role. And when he's not scoring, he's setting up goals for other people with his you know, technical dribbling in tight spaces and breaking into the box, and playing in this deeper role doesn't allow him to do that. Now, like you said, has he been better than serviceable? Has he been at least pretty good in this role? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a special player. Every time he's on the pitch, it seems like you see something that just reminds you that we've got somebody, you know, not just, I think you've said it before, Sebastian, not just really good, but someone actually special on our hands coming up. But I think he's done great in this deeper role, but I don't think this is something I want, ideally want to see going forward, only because I think his potential is just through the ceiling if you push him up the field a little bit. But Garrett, this past weekend against Stuttgart, he was partnered alongside Mark Rucka. Yes, that's right, Mark Rucka got some playing time for Bayern Munich. I just want to hear your thoughts on, you know, how did the Spaniard play, finally getting a start for Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga this season? And do you think that the way he played warranted some more playing time in the future, maybe even starting against Wolfsburg tomorrow?
I don't know why, but I want to do my best Tim Richards voice, and he was fine. I thought he was solid. I thought he was good, and didn't do anything spectacular by any means, but he didn't do anything that made me be like, yeah, he doesn't need to be playing anymore. I think given all the injuries to midfield, I think he's going to do just fine as much as he needs to play. That being said, I don't think he did anything that makes Bayern think a whole lot different about him than they already do. He's further down the pecking order than maybe he would, I know that he would like, but he seems to have a pretty good attitude about the whole thing. Just seeing some of the interviews that are out there with him. But yeah, he was okay. I wanted him to kind of take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and show at least a couple flashes of things that you thought, oh, okay, well, yeah, we need to keep this guy so that he can, you know, be almost the new Tolisso, when inevitably he moves on. It'd be nice to have that guy in a backup role, but yeah, he didn't do anything that jumped out. I don't know. Did you guys feel like he did anything during that match that made you think better or worse of him?
I think the whole problem with him is that his style of play is just something that you tend to overlook if you don't pay attention to what he does, like 50% of the time or more. This is what makes this hard at times. I would say he has been decent, and that's about it. There's really nothing bad I can say about him, but also there are no things that I could point out specifically. Even more so than usual with him, I think, because there have been games earlier where you could say, okay, this was pretty good, this was not so good. He has been even less noticeable than is basically already his brand of football, if you will. So, yeah, is this good enough? I don't know. Was he significantly worse than Tolisso? Not really. Was he better? Also, not really, I would say.
Maybe it's just because I kept an eye on him a little bit more, or maybe because I really like defensive midfielders, and so I tend to give them a little bit more, I guess, leeway. I think he was at least a little bit better than the way y'all are talking about it. I don't think he blew me away by any means, and he was playing as a holding midfielder in a game in which Bayern completely dominated, so it's a little bit difficult to judge entirely based off of that. But I think what stands out the most to me isn't necessarily his performance, but the way that his teammates, notably Serge Gnabry, and also his coaches in Julian Nagelsmann and Bratzo as well, went out of their way after the game to talk about him, to highlight that he played a good game, to tell him that he played well. And I'm sure they did the same, you know, to him face-to-face in the locker room. And I think that tells me a couple things. Number one, I think it tells me that the guys in the club like him. They like him a lot. They want him to succeed. I think Julian Nagelsmann does have some sort of idea or plan of what to do with Marc Roca in the squad. I'm a little bit more confident that he'll be staying at the club for a longer time now. But it also tells me that Roca really needed that game. I think that he really needed not only to get some minutes, but to get some minutes and to play well and to show that he is at least capable of being on the Bayern level, even if it is just in a Bundesliga game where you win 5-0 against Mainz, against Stuttgart. So I think that the game tomorrow against Wolfsburg will be another really good opportunity for him. Wolfsburg are in absolutely terrible form right now, and Bayern should have a pretty decent win. But all things considered, I would say Wolfsburg are on a higher level than Stuttgart and a bit of a better team. And I think if Marc Roca comes out and he has a good performance, there's a good chance heading into the second half of the season we get to see a little bit more of him. So not totally blown away. To answer your question, there was nothing massive that stood out other than the fact that it seems like everyone at the club went out of their way after the game to talk good about him, to praise him. And I think that says a lot more than any stats or anything we can see from watching on TV can really tell us. So I guess that's just kind of my two cents on the idea. I guess a better question is what's going to happen when Marc Roca plays well again tomorrow and Marcel Sabitzer comes in the second half of the season looking for a spot in the starting lineup. Then Julian Nagelsmann's going to have some serious questions on his hands with Kimmich being fit, Goretzka being fit as well. So that, for me, will definitely be interesting to see. But speaking about the Wolfsburg game tomorrow, Robert Lewandowski has another chance, I guess a chance to break another record is the way I meant to word that. I believe he's on 68 goals for the calendar year. And the record for the most goals in a calendar year in Europe is 69, held by Cristiano Ronaldo. So Lewandowski, who notoriously loves scoring goals against Wolfsburg, only has to get one to tie the record, he has to get two, which maybe for Lewandowski isn't only against Wolfsburg tomorrow. Garrett, is he going to do it?
Yes. I'm not gonna nuance it or anything. He is gonna do it, and I think he's gonna do it soundly. He's gonna get a hat trick.
Oh, very nice, Sebastian. I know you obviously care a lot less about this, but what are your thoughts on whether or not it happens?
Yeah, I think it's pretty likely. I would say. I mean, you're right that I do not care, like not even 10% as much for this record than I cared for the other one that he broke. So. Well, I guess I kind of care, because I would still rather have Lewandowski got this than Cristiano Ronaldo. So, yeah, do it, man. Do it. Just get the thing away from that guy.
On top of that, too, wouldn't that be just a nice little cherry on top of, you know, why didn't he get the Ballon d'Or?
Mm.
Like, I think that would be another wonderful storyline for him to just put that on top of there.
Yeah. I think so for sure. You know, you look back and Robert Lewandowski set the world record or the all-time record for most goals in a calendar year, and he still didn't win the Ballon d'Or. It would be very fitting. I think he'll do it as well. I have confidence in him. I hope he doesn't tie it. I just want him to actually take it and win it for himself. Like Sebastian said, if for no other reason, then it'll no longer be Cristiano Ronaldo's record. But that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can follow us over on Twitter @superbayernpod and get in touch with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.